Hello and welcome to another podcast of Think Globally, Act Locally, the TGAL podcast. I am your host, Patricia Demetrio, a podcast that focuses on local and global educational topics to help inspire our listeners to empower educators and students about important social and emotional learning. Because we do live in this global society and we are so easily connected around the world, it is important that our students are able to cope with their changing global worlds. Our podcast addresses students' understanding and perspectives of other people and cultures across all grade levels and disciplines so that they are able to solve common problems and develop better working relationships when they are ready to enter the workforce. I am so happy to be here with you again today. And today we're going to be talking about what will it take to get high school students back on track. As you heard in our first podcast, we talked a little bit about how some students were able to thrive in a virtual learning environment. But we also must address how will students get back on track, because that is not the norm that a lot of students were able to thrive in that environment, that type of learning. And we know there's a lot going on with students falling behind. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. And I will also be finishing up my interview with our student that visited in China, Athena D. And you'll get to hear the second part of that interview. So welcome again to our podcast and let's get started. What will it take to get high school students back on track? Well, after a year and a half, unlike any other, high school students are struggling. The pandemic has thrown far too many of our students on the path to not being able to successfully finish their path to high school graduation and college or a career training program. Now, in Baltimore, these are really crazy. Now, listen to this. In Baltimore, 68% of ninth graders failed a class this year. Now, this was a sharp increase after years of progress. Now, in Los Angeles, 43% of the class of 2022 is at risk of not graduating. And across the country, absences are up, while college financial aid applications, dual enrollment, and other key steps toward graduation and college enrollment are down. So this all begs the question to know, you know, what is it? What will it take to get our high school students on track? Well, I would like to just give some basic things that we can all do to try to get our students back on track. Three of them I'm going to be discussing with you. Now, one, early warning systems. Now, before they can even begin to address students' needs, schools definitely need to be able to identify what they are. So setting up a system to get these early warning signs created, what will you look for, get that documented and delivered to the schools that are keeping track of this information, should your school be one that has a failing graduation coming up. This early warning system definitely should be put in place. Number two, college and career guidance. Providing students with access to comprehensive college and career guidance is also critical to education recovery. Considering that there has been a decline in financial aid applications, reach back out to those students who are suffering from getting on track with their career guidance is a must. Number three, partner with AmeriCorps and its nonprofit partners. After more than a year of virtual instruction, we also know that many students are yearning for professional connection and attention. So get out into the community and partner with those AmeriCorps partners, or of course you can always reach out to LifeSmart Education as well about support with helping with things around student engagement and helping to increase your student graduation rates. And that's all we have for this segment. And now we're going to listen to part two of my interview with our student, Athena D, who went to China. And we're going to now listen to the last part of my interview with her. So tell me a little bit about friendships. Did you have any? I know you brought your dog today. Mm-hmm. That's what he's sitting down there on the floor next to us. It's so sweet. So tell us about friendships. Did you have any special friendships with kids, or did they teach you anything?
I remember having three friends, actually. It was this girl, another girl, and... Wait, I actually only had two. My bad. I remember having two friends, one very close one. She was a lot shorter than me. She was a cute little Asian girl, and she always had her hair up in a little ponytail, and she was so nice to me. And I also remember having another friend, a little shorter than me, not too much shorter, and she had long, shoulder-length, thick black hair.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think when you see someone that's Asian in America, you would look at them differently than had you not had that experience living in China?
Yes, I did. I remember my mom's friend, she made me actually some Chinese dresses, and I still have those dresses. My mom won't let me get rid of them. Even though they take up a lot of room in my storage up in my closet, it's fine. But yeah, I did learn a lot about the Chinese culture when I did live there, and so I do have a lot of respect for people who are Asian, because not only did I experience their culture, but I thought their culture was very cool and unique, because it's better, I feel like, than any other culture that we have here in America, apart from hamburgers.
What was one of your most favorite things about China?
Riding on my dad's motorcycle.
Now, how did that work? What do you mean motorcycle? You mean like a big motorcycle? You would ride it?
Yeah, actually, my dad, he had a motorcycle, and my mom, she had a orange scooter, like a bike scooter or something. And when I would ride with my dad on his motorcycle, I would ride in the front, and because he thought that I would fall off if I rode on the back behind him, so he always put me in the front of him. And I would get first view of the street. He also did put a helmet on me as well, so if any thing flew towards my face. I was 4 years old at the moment, so I had very sensitive eyes. But yeah, I just remember riding on the front of his motorcycle, and he would always put ponchos over me if it was raining, because it wasn't very much sunny weather. It was very cold in China, so he'd always put a poncho on me or something, and it was so much fun. I also remember my mom picking me up from school on her orange scooter. It was so cool. I remember this vividly. I would walk out of school. It was a brick building. I would walk out. She had a seat behind her. It was like an extra seat. Not like a motorcycle. It was like a basket type thing. She would sit me. I would sit on the basket because, you know, I could sit down. And she would just ride me around in her scooter.
Yeah, I can imagine it was very different than in America. And so you can see, I guess, how you live differently in perspective to how things are over in China. Does that stand out a little bit more to you, seeing how you do things here in America and then how you did them in China?
Yeah, because I remember in China, I was a vegetarian because they had so many weird foods. They had duck feet. I remember one time my mom was with her friend, and her friend ate duck feet, and he was like, oh my gosh. And it was, they had like all parts of the duck, which honestly I think is amazing for them, but it just wasn't for me and my family. So yeah, I think, yeah. And the toilets were really weird, but now whenever I see a toilet in the floor, and people are always like, oh my god, there's a toilet in the floor, and I'm like, that's weird to you? I mean, because it was normal for me when I was little. So I guess, you know, some people just aren't used to the way that the Chinese live and how the American people live.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is really fascinating to hear about your experiences living over in China. And I want to thank you so much for coming by and talking with us a little bit about your experiences. And we'll have some pictures of Athena when she lived in China on our website, so you can kind of look at some of the things that she did when she went to school over there. So I want to thank you so much again, Athena, for coming by and saying hello to us.
Yeah, it's no problem. It was great being here.
Great. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this segment of our Tegal podcast, and join us next time when we will be speaking with more students and connecting with all of those important life skills. So until next time, thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.